everyone. Tina Rizul here, hosting all the way from Sydney, Australia, and you are listening to the Marketing Cloudcast, a podcast by Salesforce, where we bring in digital marketers, thought leaders, authors, and industry experts from around the world to talk about all of the key trends and tactics that help us all be better marketers. And I am joined by my wonderful co-host and good friend, Megan.
Hey guys, here from Indianapolis, and just wanted to give a shout out to any of our new listeners here. So if you haven't ever listened before, thought I'd give a quick rundown of where we are. So Tina and I are in the middle of a series all focused on account-based marketing. So we are learning what the strategy is, why data is so important, what accounts to go after, and also how to apply this within your own business. Now, we get asked a lot about how we operate at Salesforce, and I thought it would be helpful to bring in Lisa Perry. She's our senior manager of one-to-one enterprise ABM, as well as her counterpart in sales, Chinzia Bazo. She's the national vice president for our retail industry in Canada.
Yes, a key element to a successful ABM strategy is that alignment and strong relationship between sales and marketing. So we thought, why not bring these two teams together and share their points of views on how they approach ABM?
Yeah, and later on, we're going to bring in Rob Arkaki. He's a partner and associate director of B2B marketing and sales at BCG, Boston Consulting Group, which is a leading international consulting firm focused on helping large companies solve challenging problems. Rob spends most of his time and energy on helping B2B marketing and sales organizations transform and adopt digital practices, work more cohesively together, and implement things like, you guessed it, account-based marketing. He's worked with Salesforce on a report recently as well. So we want to get into that. It's a report that talks all about that relationship between sales, marketing, service, better known as Three's Company. It's all coming full circle here. So we'll first kick things off by sharing my interview with Lisa and Chinzia. Enjoy.
Hello, my name is Lisa, and I'm part of our Salesforce account-based marketing team. I am a marketer that deeply cares about a handful of one-to-one high potential accounts, and I get to work with an amazing sales team here at Salesforce. So in this role, I create marketing experiences that are highly targeted to a specific set of accounts. And I'm here with one of my amazing sales partners, Chinzia Bazo, our VP of Enterprise Retail.
Thank you, Lisa, for that intro. My name is Chinzia Bazo, and I'm responsible for the Retail Enterprise Group in Canada. In this role, I basically hold targets for all retail accounts across all clouds nationally. And my mission is to grow the retail footprint in existing accounts, as well as grow the business with net new logos. And there's a variety of measurements, I think, that are relative to this discussion that I'd like to share. And so if you think about, you know, how do you measure success in my role? It's by customer success. And that really does mean, you know, are they attriting or are they happy and staying with us? And what are our NPS scores? The second measurement really is all about pipeline generation overall, which is where my friend Lisa comes in often. New logo pipe also happens to be really hand in hand with myself and my marketing field partners, and in the case of ABM accounts, Lisa. Open pipe, and then annual contract value, as well as annual overall value of contracts. And, you know, just important to note that we share many of these metrics with our marketing counterparts. So as it pertains to the discussion today, I think you'll hear more about how Lisa and I are both trying to achieve these metrics together.
Yeah. And I think, Chinzia, you touched on a really great point, which is our marketing efforts are also based on business outcomes. And so when you think about, you know, marketing, we look at things like clicks and downloads and website traffic, and that's really important. But when we're looking at account-based marketing and we're looking at partnering with our sales team, I think it starts with that. I think it starts with, you know, what are you looking to achieve and how can marketing support those business outcomes?
I want to dig into your relationship a little bit more. You alluded to that, you know, you work really closely together. So I wanted to talk about how you partner with marketing specifically. So you're coming from a sales background. You're focused on, you know, those different factors that you mentioned, customer success, pipeline generation, new logo pipe, open pipe, annual contract value, all the things. Where do you see marketing fitting into that, specifically when it comes to your ABM efforts?
All of these metrics, to me, they're just so relevant with all field marketing. And in the case where we share an ABM account, they're relevant to all of those accounts as well. And so, you know, when I, as a sales leader, go out to my sales team, what I do is I say, you should all be running your accounts and your territories like you're the CEOs or general manager of this territory. With the only difference being that you don't have to actually carry any of the costs. Salesforce carries all of that cost for you and what you need to do to give Salesforce interest back or revenue back to them, right? In the case of ABM marketing, these people are part of our executive management team. Lisa is like the CMO of my executive management team. They're involved in all areas of our strategy and decision-making and branding and vision. So when we think about how are we going to go to market for a customer, Lisa has to be at the table with me deciding on strategy. You know, I ask her for her input in all areas of running the business, and we really do make joint decisions for our customers. And so what we want to do is, you know, we want to have accountability at the leadership level, so myself and Lisa, so that then we can go to market together. Oftentimes, we actually include the customer in those plans, and we're accountable to each other for the results because we agreed that this is something that we could execute on together and we wanted to do together, and it's our joint strategy. It's just not my own strategy. And just like a true member of the LT, ABM marketing is consulted in decision-making, and we understand how it relates to the customer strategy, and we're accountable to each other. And I think, you know, that's the way it works well.
Now, Lisa, wondering from your point of view, you know, you're on this account-based marketing team. We talked with your leader, Emma Chalwin, here recently. Would love to dive into more of what your team defines as account-based marketing at Salesforce.
You know, at Salesforce, if our sales team is defined as the CEO of their business, so if our account executive really owns the strategy and execution of how they want to run their business, our team, as Chinsia mentioned, acts as the CMO of that business. We align to strategy and the direction of the business, and it's defined by that CEO, which is our sales team. And if you kind of read between the lines, that means that the value of marketing is defined by sales. What we do is when we look at that sales strategy and what sales is trying to achieve, we build our marketing plans around that. And they are also approved by sales. And I think that sometimes takes us out of our comfort zone in some cases that, you know, our plans have got to be reviewed and approved by our sales teams. But because we're measuring in the same way and because our KPIs are their KPIs, it becomes really easy. And so I think the most important thing about account-based marketing at Salesforce is that, you know, we look at the full funnel with our sales team. We not only look at acquisition, but we look at, you know, are we getting the right customers in the room? Are we taking them through a full funnel journey? Are we accelerating and expanding our footprint? And so, you know, our journey is the same as a sales pursuit. And I think we have an exceptional structure at Salesforce in order to help that model be really successful.
Wanted to shift gears here. So this episode is called Three's Company because some research from BCG, Boston Consulting Group, has really found that when these three roles come together, it's really the triple threat when it comes to account-based marketing. So could you share, you know, any other thoughts about why these roles are so successful?
You know, we always say that selling, marketing, and service at Salesforce is definitely a team sport, and we're so fortunate to have the right tools and the right teams for like amazing alignment and visibility. So with sales, we understand what the customer needs. I think with our service partners, we really understand, you know, how we are driving success within our accounts. So how satisfied are customers? What are they looking for? What are they telling our success teams that is an indicator for sales or marketing to step in? We have a ton of insights and we have so many connections within our accounts that, you know, we use Salesforce really to surface some of those insights, but we're so lucky to have this kind of trifecta of sales, service, and marketing to really understand full funnel, you know, what is happening on the sales cycle? What is it, what are we looking to sell a customer? what is resonating and where are customers seeing success in our products? And then how can we really align those two in our marketing efforts to really, you know, showcase where we can get our customers to and how we can get to that future state of success?
Yeah, I'd like to actually maybe just add to that. So you mentioned, Lisa, that customer success can help inform our ABM program for the customer. And in one area I want to point out is where we've done it in the opposite way. So for example, we've engaged with our customer success group and Lisa and myself to go to market with a customer and instill a trailhead challenge so that they then can have their employees log on to Trailhead, earn some badges, and then both the customer success, myself and Lisa, would hand out awards for that. And it was a way of getting, really helping to support what customer success was trying to do in the account, getting the employees geared up to actually do more on the Salesforce platform. And so the three of us worked really well there, but it was, you know, us kind of helping customer success get to an end goal that they had. And that was, you know, that they didn't have enough Salesforce administrators or enough Salesforce intelligence in the organization to do some of the stuff that they wanted to do. So, you know, that's another example of how we were able to come together and satisfy an ABM request.
Yeah. And I think it all starts with a happy customer. It's so much easier to market to a happy customer. And so I think working with both our success teams and our sales teams to get to that happiness, it just makes all of our jobs so much easier.
Sometimes you get to the point where you even bring the customer in as you're planning out your roadmap or, you know, your quarterly campaigns that you're going to put to market. So how do you get to that point of bringing that customer in? I mean, going from, you know, level one to level 10, how do you understand what that customer wants at any given time?
What we do is we introduce the concept of ABM marketing as really a value add to the customer. So before we have very deep relationships, we introduce it as a value add. So the customer understands the program, understands what we're looking to get out of the program, understands why it's beneficial to them. And so I would say that Lisa is really introduced as a value add right in the beginning. And so when we don't have deep relationships by introducing this, they suddenly think these people feel and act and sound like different kinds of vendors. And maybe they're not vendors after all. Maybe they're more like our partners. So they really welcome the collaboration even when we don't have deep relationships. And it's actually helped us get to deeper relationship. And, you know, it really allows us to also show up as one Salesforce looking to deliver, you know, customer success to them and frankly delight them. They feel that. And in all ABM examples, honestly, without exception, Lisa has become a trusted advisor for my clients. They know her by name. They ask for her for an event having dinner. They're like, hey, how come Lisa is not here tonight? And so she just seems like an extension of our sales team, which I absolutely love. She also knows them and can immediately build trust with them. So we introduce her on the front end. We bring her to dinners. We bring her to events. She shows up. She's there for, you know, Trailhead announcements. And she speaks about their business and frankly, honestly, knows as much about their business as they do in some cases. So they get a feeling like we're listening, that we're interested, and that really sets us apart from other vendors. In fact, again, they don't see us as a vendor. This week, Lisa and I have another customer call, for example, where we're going to talk to them about what we think they're missing in branding. It has nothing to do with product sales. It has nothing to do with ABM. It has everything to do with us understanding the client and understanding their customers and having an idea and saying, hey, you know, Mr. CEO, can we book some time with you? Because we think that you're missing a great branding opportunity. And you don't know how amazing they feel when we get on the phone and say, we think your branding is off. We know that you provide this service, but you're missing a part that has made, you know, Salesforce very successful. And that's, you know, why, the reason, you know, your why are you in business? What are you trying to achieve? And, you know, their eyes light up and they, again, they don't see us as a vendor. So when we roll out creative and personally relevant marketing campaigns that are meaningful to our customers, they feel like they're the only customer we work with. And so imagine that we have over 150,000 customers, but an ABM campaign can make one customer feel Like they are all that matters to Salesforce. And, you know, that is a very powerful and frankly, very satisfying thing for the sales team, for Lisa and customer success to be able to pull off.
We also do an amazing amount of research. We really listen to what's happening to our customers, how they are responding externally, what their goals are. So we do a lot of social listening. We also understand, you know, what a customer stands for, where do our values align, how can we ensure that, you know, we are speaking to them in their language, but also how does that language marry that of Salesforce? So we're very genuine in our approach.
I like that. How do you measure success from these ABM programs?
Right. So, I mean, customer feel good isn't, unfortunately, if we could measure it just based on that, we would do so well. Yeah. But, you know, I mentioned early on all of the metrics that, you know, that we're measured by. And so there are the tangibles, right? There are also the intangible, like customer sentiment, how they interact with their organization and how they feel coming out of the conversations or engagements. But ultimately, success is measured by trust. Like, does a customer trust you enough to allow you to bid on more business? In the case of ABM accounts, we have seen that just by virtue of being an ABM account and all the attention that we give them above and beyond the average, that this has resulted in expansion of our footprint within an account.
I think specifically around measurement, what keeps us really accountable is that we do have one scorecard, and it's deeply rooted in our sales goals. So of course we look at revenue and how we are contributing to pipeline and ACV, but we also look at kind of three stages. So we look at reputation, you know, are we a viable solution? Do customers see us as an option when they're looking for a solution? So have we built that reputation? We also look at relationships. So what engagements are we driving that will ultimately convert? So are we getting customers to our website? Are we getting them to events? And then which of these engagements are our account teams finding fulfilling? So are they having conversations after that? And are we actually sparking the engagements that are really resonating with both our customers and our sales teams that will eventually get them to those conversations around opportunity growth and then, you know, to that final sale? But we are also measured by our sales counterparts. We want to ensure that our sales teams or our CEOs are happy with the level of marketing service provided. So that's why we have at least quarterly feedback sessions to ensure that our sales teams are seeing the value in what we're producing and we're giving them that platform to provide that feedback. That's really important to us.
Something I'm loving about our series is that we talk about how ABM is really focused on the alignment and teamwork and also the efficiency. They make it sound so easy.
Well, that's what we hope. We hope that you guys take this away and you can adapt this within your department. And of course, it's not just us here at Salesforce that's starting to coordinate with the different counterparts like sales, for instance. In fact, as mentioned in our intro, BCG, better known as Boston Consulting Group, has developed some interesting research about these relationships and how marketers are moving away from even referring to it as ABM anymore. They're really calling it ABE.
Now, to tell us more about this ABE approach, because Megan, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat right now, but let's welcome to the show Rob Arkaki, Partner and Associate Director of B2B Marketing and Sales at BCG.
At its core, I think what we learned through the research is that the importance of cross-functional alignment and execution was critical for success of any account-based program. So the companies we saw doing this better were those that we're doing a much better job aligning across marketing, sales, and service and engaging with their customers in a very integrated and seamless way as a result of that. ABM as a terminology, we felt implied that it was an effort that was being marketing led rather than having joint ownership across the marketing, sales, and services functions. So given that, we'd assert that account-based marketing is a bit of a misnomer in terms of what's required for success, and that account-based engagement does a better job capturing what's necessary to be successful with this kind of a strategy. It can't be just marketing-led. It needs to include sales and customer service as well. So that's why we felt that ABE is a more effective term and does a better job describing the critical importance of delivering highly personalized and integrated experiences across the entire customer lifecycle.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm curious, from your perspective, when you started embarking on this research, it looks like you interviewed 34 senior executives, 21 technology, manufacturing, and business services companies. Were you surprised that from that research you found that more than 60% of marketing and sales executives actually complain that inconsistent messaging has a neglect impact on B2B customers?
Yes, I guess it was a little bit of a surprise, but yeah, what you're referring to is in our discussions, we found that over 50% of the ABE programs failed, at least initially. And this was true for what I would call kind of both strategic or one-to-one ABE versus scale programs, which are more one to few or one to many. The most important reason for this failure was poor cross-functional alignment and the lack of sales buy-in. So it gets to that issue of integration between marketing and sales and service. So that wasn't happening. Sales and service was not fully bought into what they were doing. So in some sense, that is the reason it failed. There were other issues that were important as well, but none as important as that connection across functions. But there were things such as not approaching ABE as a fundamentally new go-to-market strategy, rather approaching it as more of a technology rollout, which was another cause of failure, or not addressing the underlying data integration and quality issues. Sometimes there were challenges related to technology fragmentation across the company, impacting their ability to scale it. So, but for many of these people who failed initially, a large percentage of them regrouped and relaunched their programs with greater success, addressing some of the core challenges. And you know, in some sense, it's not a bad strategy to try something, get going, fail, learn, experiment, and then move forward based upon those learnings. But I think the value of the research is, hey, there's other people who have gone through this and had success and learned from their failures and pitfalls. You know, we can all learn from them and kind of do a better job based upon what they've learned and to do it better the first time through.
Yeah, and I'd be interested to know too, while you're having these interviews, what kind of questions were you asking to kind of dig into the structure that they have in place? Like, did they know that they weren't aligned completely? Or is it kind of like, oh, I think I have good alignment, but maybe in reality they didn't?
Yeah, I think when it comes down to it, you know, it's really a different model for many companies. And so in most companies, marketing, sales, and service are often siloed, right? Mm-hmm. And then usually what happens is, you know, it's account-based marketing. So the marketing organization comes up with this concept of personalizing at the account level and doing a better job of engaging accounts to drive account objectives. But they don't fully bring the sales organization into it. And oftentimes they continue to go down the path of implementing it without full sales buy-in, thinking, well, we'll give it a try and see if it works. I think the finding is if the sales team isn't on board, the services team is not on board, it's not going to work. You know, you really need all those different groups to be involved. The sales team for many of these larger accounts owns the interaction and the relationship. The marketing strategy needs to reflect the objectives of the sales team within that account. And only they will really know, understand kind of like how to personalize for that account and to how to do that in such a way that it's really driving account specific goals and objectives.
Gotcha. Yeah. And with that, you tease this a little bit, but for those companies who are turning a new leaf and starting to remove those silos, what are the type of results that they're seeing?
It's very interesting here. I mean, through the interviews, we gathered a lot of results, more anecdotal. We have a lot of stories. We interviewed, you know, over 30 companies, each has their own story. But one of the findings was that those who are getting it right and are on the right path are oftentimes delivering results which are quite dramatic. And we've observed those results across the full spectrum of metrics. So we've observed companies driving benefits, which would include increased targeting account engagement. So doing a better job and getting more engagement with the marketing from the accounts that they're targeting and personalizing for, improved acquisition of new customers. So in some cases, you know, 2x the improvement in the marketing contributions to new customers acquired was one example we saw. Accelerated pipeline growth, so opportunities for the sales team to close, higher close rates, you know, better qualified opportunities, greater speed of closure, increases in average deal size, in some cases being 2x what it had been before. Improved cross-selling. So for existing accounts, we're trying to expand your relationship, the ability to sell more products into that client in a shorter period of time. higher customer retention for those kind of focused on limiting churn and loss of customer, kind of leveraging marketing and account-based engagement as a way of doing that effectively as well. And then ultimately, you know, all these things lead to higher, more profitable revenue growth. So we saw that full spectrum of benefits. Which one was more important will vary by kind of the company you're talking to, their strategy and what they're prioritizing. But I think the bottom line, though, is the real benefit. This is a little bit harder to test for, though, but one that I think we'll kind of get a better sense for over time, is that this kind of engagement will have a longer term impact on customer satisfaction, advocacy, lifetime value, and just deeper relationships with customer over a period of time, which, you know, is the benefit of the relationship itself, the value that comes out of that.
Yeah. And is there any commonality of a weekly sync that they added to their calendar or any specific ways that they kind of started to collaborate more together?
Certainly. I think it starts probably with the planning process. So joint planning. So marketing and sales going through the annual planning process together. So they have common objectives. They understand their roles in achieving those objectives. And there's an integrated plan to figure out how we're going to do a better job engaging our top accounts, who our top accounts are that we want to engage with this way, and what results we want to drive as a part of that. And then throughout the year, I think more frequent communication, the use of collaboration tools, very frequent sharing of what's working, what's not working, and actioning the things that aren't working to resolve those problems. Those are certainly best practices that we've seen as part of the work.
As they're bringing in the strategy, are they hiring new people? Are they reorganizing themselves? You know, what is that first step for companies who are starting to pivot to an ABE strategy?
So on the marketing side, because of the growing importance of digital and the expanded role that marketing is playing in demand generation, and the fact that that relies heavily on technology, data and analytics, that marketing organizations are certainly focused on recruiting a different skill set complementary to the skill set that they've had. I mean, certainly the creative side of marketing is still incredibly important, but now you have to add to that kind of the data analytic and technology side of it, which for some companies is a new muscle to build within the marketing organization. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, on the sales side, I think selling in a way that's more digitally enabled, leveraging data and intelligence in the sales process, and leveraging all that engagement that happens on the digital side, because there's information there, you know, who's coming to your website, what are they doing on your website, who's responding to your marketing, you know, are they new clients within our account, are they existing clients, are there any indicators that they have an intent or interest in buying a particular service? That's all information that the sales organization should be leveraging from the digital world. So I think, you know, developing a more data-driven sales process in terms of thinking about opportunities within the account and then thinking about kind of innovative ways for engaging customers, prospective clients within the account is a new skill as well.
So how would companies start to measure their success differently with account-based engagement?
So typically what I see is that it's much more focused on marketing and sales sharing common goals. So there's more focus on the marketing side on the end goal of opportunity or pipeline development and revenue growth, and then ultimately customer lifetime value. So it tends to align the marketing and sales and services organizations more around common goals and more the end goals of revenue generation. And I think that as a result, there tends to be less focus on lead generation, so individual leads, and more focus on achieving the goals for that account. So there could be increased focus on engagement with targeted accounts in particular and how to personalize to drive that engagement, to start new discussions, deepen relationships. And then ultimately, I think companies will focus on tracking how they're doing with the accounts that are in the ABE program. So the other thing we've seen is a best practice is that they highly prioritize this. So not all companies will necessarily get the same level of personalization. But where you're investing in personalization as part of the ABU program, you can track kind of your investment in that versus the benefit that's generating relative to some kind of a control group. So I see that often used as a way of measuring the success of the program.
With that, what is your advice to companies who are getting started with ABE?
And so what I would say first and foremost is that there's no reason to wait. It's easy enough to launch limited pilots with select accounts, targeted regions, verticals, or even, you know, individual sales groups that are willing to partner and give it a shot. And that doesn't require significant organizational change or significant investment in technology to get started. I mean, some of the tracking and stuff you need to do could be done manually at a small scale. Where it does get more complex is as you begin to roll out enterprise-wide, and that requires transforming the go-to-market model, requires change management, organizational realignment, and building technology to scale capabilities. But the, like I said, the place where we've seen most companies struggle is the organizational challenges around scaling it, less so implementing technology and tools. We have seen some challenges there, but not as critical as kind of getting the organizational alignment upfront to ensure success.
All right, that wraps up our fifth episode of this How to Speak ABM series. Thank you to our guests, Lisa and Chinzia. I just love how they talked about their relationship and how they run it like their own business with a CEO and a CMO. Just a different way of thinking there. And of course, a big thank you to Rob Arkaki. Now, if you want to dive into the research that he talked about in our interview from Boston Consulting Group, go ahead and check out the link in the description of the episode.
Yes, what a great episode and more insights to come. So everyone tuning in, make sure you join us again next time as we talk about how COVID has impacted B2B marketing and what that means for ABM. And if you like what you hear, make sure that you go ahead and subscribe. And that way you don't have to miss a beat or an episode with Megan and I. And also please rate us. We'd love to hear from you, review us, because hearing from you is what makes this show possible.
We know your life is busy. If you happen to have 2 spare minutes, we'd love to hear from you. Please take our listener survey at sfdc.co/cloudcastsurvey. Only 2 questions, and we really, really appreciate hearing from you. So with that, that's a wrap.
Bye.
Thanks again to Think Ahead Studios for editing this episode, audible.com for the music, and Press and Kyle for the opening jingle.